Matt said 18 below was all he could handle. They will be in Florida for 2 months. We'll see him in April. I was kind of hoping he'd hang around long enough at least to shoot the groundhog too, but anyhow, they are probably traveling yet this morning to get to the southern part of Florida. So we blessed them and sent them on their way and told them when they come back, it'll be warm and nice. And that's our faith statement. Well, they're supposed to bring, well, April's when they're coming back. I want it warm at the end of March. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to continue on. We've been talking about prayer and our prayer lives. This morning, I want to talk to you about something real simple. You've heard me talk about canned prayers, right? We're going to kind of hit on this a little bit more this morning. So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, or as you were, 6. See, a lot of people want to know how to pray because they don't know how to pray. And what they're looking for is somebody to show them. I'm going to tell you the simplest way to pray. Open your mouth. Speak to God just as if you were speaking to a friend. Because that's what He is. He wants to be that close. I'm going to show you something. If you're in Matthew chapter 6, go to verse 5. It says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites." Now, we got somebody using the word hypocrite right. "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men." See, a hypocrite is somebody who says, "I'm doing this for godliness' sake," but they're actually doing it for attention. You ever seen people do that? They want attention drawn to them. "Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." These people that get up and they do this stuff and try to get attention drawn, that's all the reward they're getting. They're not getting one thing from God because of this. "But when you pray, go into your room." In other words, get away from people. People are distractions. I don't care if it's your way. "Oh, let's pray together." You're a distraction to me, honey. You are going to have to wear a burqa in order not to be a distraction. I need my prayer time. If you don't know what a burqa is, it's that Islamic black outfit. You can't see nothing. Eyeballs. And I think she's got beautiful eyes, so that's going to be a distraction. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. You may have a different place that you go to pray. Some people like to go for walks. When I lived in town here, a lot of times, if I couldn't sleep at night, I'd get up and walk. I walked all over this cotton-picking town. And I'd pray. And I had access to the church at any time, so sometimes I'd come over here and pray. But you need to be alone. "And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words." You know anybody like that? It's the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. Or you can just read in the newspaper. This has never been known to fail. Hogwash. It's called witchcraft. "Therefore, do not be like them. As a believer, you should not be like the heathen, trying to pray your way into heaven, trying to pray your miracle through. It's not your prayer. It's your faith that moves the mountains." Jesus didn't say, "Stand there and talk to the mountain to death." He said, "Tell it and believe it that it's going to move. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. So guess what? You know, we've been taught, don't ask God for your things. Don't, you know, pray for other people. Now listen, there's a balance. God knows you have need of it. Ask Him. That's exactly what Jesus just said. He said He knows you have need before you ask. He never said don't ask, because then a few chapters later He'll teach us about don't back off. Continue first off believing. Ask Him. God's not moved because you irritated the socks off of Him. He's moved because you believe Him. You trust Him in it. In this manner, therefore pray. He's going to show us. Now I'm going to tell you, this is the Lord's Prayer. About every one of us in here can quote this, couldn't we? I don't care if you'd ever actually been to church. You can probably quote this. But the problem is, it's not really a prayer. It's a pattern. Yeah, it's great. In our language, it's poetic even. I don't think in the Hebrew it flowed the same as what it does in ours. Because Jesus was not trying to create a poem. He was trying to set forth a pattern to give those who don't know how to pray an idea of how to pray. So He starts out, He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. That's a hard thing for all of us to do. God, Your will be done, not mine. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, first off, there's some things Jesus taught us about prayer. He said, when you go to God, ask it in My name. That's the new covenant. There's a reason He didn't ask in His name right there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all Old Testament. They're the new covenant coming in and phasing out the old. They are technically old covenant still. There's going to be things you see, but then there's going to be things that you need to understand that they never changed. But Jesus added this one thing. He said, whatever you ask the Father in My name. If somebody tells you to go to a store or go to some place where you're going to buy something, ask for somebody and mention their name. Right? Anybody ever had somebody? Tell them I sent you. What they're telling you is, if you tell them I sent you because of your relationship with Me, you should get a good deal. And if they don't give you a good deal, they have to deal with Me. Because I may never deal with them again. So therefore, they understand, so-and-so sent Me. And so when we go to God now and we say, Father, I come to You now in Jesus' name, there are times I enter that way and I leave that way. Okay? It's just my habit. Okay? And by the way, you can have habits in prayers. We'll talk about this too. But He ended it just with an amen. So the first thing we need to look at, He said, Our Father. Let's go back to that, Kayla. Our Father. What verse was it? 9. Let's go back to verse 9 back there. Our Father in heaven. First off, He's identifying something they really did not pray in. They did not recognize God as Father. They recognized Abraham as their father. Jesus is saying you need to understand your relationship. Go to Daddy. Your Daddy in heaven. Your Daddy in heaven establishes that He's the big daddy. He's the original Godfather. See, back in the days when we had, well, I mean, there still are godfathers. People keep thinking there isn't, but there still is the mafia. But back in the day, if you went to Al Capone and you were his buddy, you pretty much had a an easy ride. You had a relationship. God's saying, Jesus is saying, go to your Father. Go to your Father, the one who loves you. Why would I go to somebody else's father who doesn't like me? Go to your Father. It shows a relationship. My children can come to me. They can ask me anything they want to ask. I may not always give them what they want, because that's where wisdom sets in and says, you aren't ready for that. Jesse, I know you like motorcycles, but you are not ready for a Harley. So he may say, not yet. I know personally that is one thing I don't like hearing God say. No or not yet. But I'm ready, God. Come on, I'm ready. Come to find out, I wasn't ready. And it points out that this is not just a God and man relationship. It's a father-child relationship. See, a God-man, because remember, Jesus kind of changed that relationship on us. He said, you're now my brothers. We are now brothers with Jesus. He's the Son, so that makes God the Father. We are adopted in as children. We have the same rights. If you are truly adopted in, you have the same rights as the regulars. But it also shows, it says, hallowed be your name. Honor, giving him reverence. Recognizing that he is your father, but he's not your sugar daddy. Are you following me? This is where we, in this generation of Americans particularly, have a really hard time. It's real honor. Part of it is of what we honor. We honor sports heroes. There is no hero in the athletic field, period. You are not in Mortal Kombat on a gridiron. Let's get that through. I'm going to watch the Super Bowl today. I'm going to root for the Broncos because I do not like the Seahawks. Just my opinion. But you carry a piece of leather over a chalk line across a grass field. I did that when I was 8. Grow up. You're a hero. Please. If I got paid $5 million to play that game, I would stand out there without pads. I would run around in my underwear with that football, and I would get across that line. And I'll do it for a portion of what they would do it for. But yet we are taught to reverence them. Oh, Mr. So-and-so, Mr. James, who cares? You're 6'8". If you can't dunk the ball, give it up. I'm not impressed that you're 6'8", have a reaching height of 8.5 feet, and you can jump 6 inches and put the ball in. You find me Spud Webb, who's 5'7". He's got nearly 5 feet to jump. The other guy's got less than 2 feet. We're talking this to this. That's impressive. I might call him Mr. Webb. But you see, that's what we honor today. We don't have a real honor. We are so comfortable with dishonor that we don't even truly honor the presidents. Oh no, we know them on a first name basis. Really? Do you? I don't care if you do. Trust me, I have met General Gray several times, and if I were to ever, him knowing that I'm a Marine, ever call him by his first name, which I would never do because I did learn something about honor. Now, if we had a private relationship outside of the Corps, I'm sure he would have no problem with me calling him Al. My platoon sergeants, some of my senior leaders. We had a relationship outside of work, and I could call them by their first name. And I had it subsequently with people under me. But in the workplace where we should be professional, I had my rank. My name was corporal. My name was not Art. I gave that up. I was their leader, and he was not my my buddy anymore. He was sergeant or staff sergeant or gunnery sergeant so-and-so. So we don't understand truly honoring God. We just approach God like he's Joe Schmo on the street. But he is God. He's our Father. The only time I would ever accept my children calling me by my first name is to get my attention in a crowded situation. So if you're one of those people that call your parents by your first name, stop it. You are disrespectful and should be stoned. That's what the Bible says, by the way. And I ain't talking to stone with the little Mary Jane either. Because that's probably why you're disrespectful. You need to show the respect to God. He is a loving Father who sent His only Son. So we can go to Him, but we got to remember, He is still God. And we should rejoice in that fact. Another reason why we have a difficult time with showing reverence is our vernacular. Man, that is bad. That's not really saying it's evil. We're saying it's good. That is righteous. Or that is awesome. You know, there's really not a whole lot that's awesome that we call awesome. Awesome means something that leaves you in awe. You can't speak. It just left your mind shattered. I don't see much of that anymore. You know, maybe if you'd ride a motorcycle and jump a canyon, I might find that awesome if you land it. Otherwise, I'm going to walk away. You say, you fool. When I was a kid, I loved Evel Knievel. That man had a few bricks shy. Our vernacular is something that hurts us, and we don't understand true reverence. We got people in the church, I don't respect anybody. Yeah, you've got a problem, brother. Because my Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. And if you read the Holy Bible, your Bible says the same thing. Thank Him for your food. I've heard, years ago, heard a message taught, and it actually set me free. It didn't change the way I did anything per se. But he pointed out something. Let's go to verse 10. It says, take it back. Go to verse 11. That was carried on. Give us this day our daily bread. We have a habit of every time we sit down, we pray, right? Nothing wrong with it. I still do it, for the most part. But I've been freed from a religious mindset that said that if I sit down and I eat without praying, that it's going to kill me because there's poisons in it. I've heard messages that are alluding to this fact, okay? They're wrong. This proves it. Give us this day our daily bread. One time. So you can thank God in the morning for the food you're going to eat the day, because I'm going to tell you, anything you take in during that day is considered food. So if you're just walking along and you think, oh, hey, I got some sunflower seeds, pop them in your mouth. If you didn't pray according to the religious, you're going to die because you ate without giving thanks. But Brother Gabriel taught us, he said, this is what it says. Give us this day our daily bread. Thank you, Lord, for the food I'm going to eat today. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't stop and thank God for every time I throw something in my mouth. For some reason, it just doesn't cross my mind when I throw that sundae in my gullet. Just, You know, I mean, or maybe we do when we're throwing, you know, hands, we joke about it. You know, we're praying if we're eating some junk food. And Lord, change the molecular structure of this food. Yeah. Lord, I know this pie crust was made with lard, but it is good. You thought I wasn't going to talk about food today. We were joking about that at men's breakfast yesterday. So it says, give us this day. Thank God. You can thank God for your food when you're up in the morning praying, when you're spending time with Him. Either way is right. If you want to stop and pray right then, do it. But do not try to put conviction onto somebody else because you didn't stop and pray for your meal. If you thank God once for your food that day, it's really all He was expecting anyhow. I've had people do that. Well, we should pray. I prayed. Just because you showed up for dinner 15 minutes late doesn't mean I got to wait. Just so you know. Ask for forgiveness. Your sins have already been forgiven. All right? I've taught you that. It is the truth. Your sins were forgiven once and for all. This is not actually asking for the act of forgiveness. This is for you. This clears your heart. Are you hearing me? If you do something you know you shouldn't be doing, it clears your heart. David put it, he put it this way. Create in me, O Lord, a clean and contrite heart. Clear it. Because if it's full of all the junk that you know you shouldn't have done or said or whatever, He can't get through to that because you won't listen. It's not that He's limited. You won't listen because you've got all this garbage up there. You know, we always, you know, sometimes we joke about the older you get, you know, your hearing goes, whatever. I think what it is all the hair, you know, we were talking about that yesterday, about all the hair that grows out of our ears when we get older. It starts blocking things up and we can't hear. That's kind of what sin does in our life. It blocks up so we can't hear God. And He's saying, just ask me to clean the slate. And I'll come in and I'll wipe it clean again. That's why David said His mercies are new every morning. It's a spiritual Q-tip, folks. And if you're one of those that don't, I do, so I use Q-tips. I know you're not supposed to stick anything smaller in your elbow in your ear, but doggone it, if there's an itch in there, you do stop with resistance, okay? I think that's the problem. We people don't have common sense anymore. If I'm not supposed to put it in my ear, why did you make it to fit so well? And if you have difficult times using Q-tips, quit buying the cheapos from Dollar General that bend. You will poke your eardrum, I promise you. Angela's, if we run out and she just happened to be at Dollar General, oh, I got Q-tips today. Yeah, you just throw those things away. They're not even worth cleaning my guns with, let alone sticking them in my ear. Forgive others. I'm going to tell you something, folks. These two go hand in hand. You will not receive that forgiveness if you do not forgive. I didn't have them put it up here, but the very verse 14, Jesus said, if you do not forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive. You have got to forgive others. And even, it's even put this way. If you are presented, you're in the temple and you're presenting your gift and you have something against somebody else. He said, leave the gift at the altar. I laugh at that one. You know why? Because if we walk off with the gift, we may not bring it back. He said, leave the gift at the altar. Go deal with what you got to deal with and come back and present it to God now. Because when you've got unforgiveness in your heart, He don't want what you're presenting Him with. Because what really matters is your heart. He said, get it clear. Protect us and deliver us from evil. Protect us and deliver us when we are tempted. You know, the Bible says that after Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down upon him. Immediately, he was led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, where he would be tempted. Now, you need to understand a few things, some folks. James said it like this. He said, when we are tempted, we cannot say, I am tempted by God, because God does not tempt. But when we are tempted by our own hearts. Now, I need you to understand something. Jesus came just like you. He became as a man. What was in that man's heart? Are you following me? All the people of the world. Honor. The devil came at him and offered him another way around it. He said, here's a shortcut. If you'll bow down to me, I'll give you what you're wanting. We are lured away by our own enticements. Because what might entice one person might not entice another. So you can't, by the way, you should never even sit there and judge anybody because of, well, they fell. I saw so-and-so at this store, and I saw so-and-so here. Listen, have you ever seen me at the drive-thru at the state store? I'm getting a pop. Oh, but you shouldn't go to the Papa Top. You know, they sell beer and stuff in there. Yeah, so does Kroger's. So does Drug Mart. So does Aldi now. So, you know what? Don't judge me. I do go to McDonald's. Rarely do I eat. I love their sweet tea. There, I've said it. And it is not a problem I am seeking deliverance from. So do not come up and pray for me. As I heard one preacher say, you are not casting out my coffee demon. I don't think I'd ever called it a demon, but he did, and well, it's his problem. So we cannot say that we are tempted by God. He's saying, protect me. When you are leading me, protect me from this stuff. Because see, when God's leading us, He doesn't lead us into temptation. What happens is something along the way pops up and something in our heart says, I like that. So if you ever ask yourself, why do I do what I do? It's because you want to. Cut and dry. And again, at the ending of it, he says, acknowledge His majesty. See, we don't, being a democracy, we do not have kings. So we don't understand the whole kingdom mentality. And honestly, most kingdoms of the world right now aren't even ruled by kings and queens anymore. Queen Elizabeth does not reign, or she doesn't rule. She reigns, but she doesn't rule. Somebody else is now, and by the way, they're having to tell her, you're out of money. You and your family need to start cutting back. So they aren't even in charge of their own finances anymore. But we need to acknowledge that God has a kingdom. And that His kingdom does not follow earthly patterns. Stock market takes a dive, the price of gold doesn't go down in God's kingdom. He still uses it as asphalt. So don't worry. Price of propane goes up, don't worry about it. Trust God. I missed some of my notes here. I told you I was going to talk about the canned prayers. He actually talked about it, didn't you? You heard it. But we think that praying a memorized prayer will get his attention so that we can receive an answer. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over the same prayer. I remember when I was a little boy learning how to pray. Didn't even know, to be honest with you, how to pray. I mean, I came from a line that was pretty much heathens. And didn't even know why I was praying for this, even though I was, that's what I'm looking for. I was alive during part of the Vietnam War and knew of it. One thing that, and I told God, I said, I'll pray this until they're all home. I prayed for POWs. I prayed for the POWs and MIAs. Every night I'd pray for them. Over time, guess what? I forgot to pray for them. And now, as an adult, Bible, Paul put it this way, when I was a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I started thinking like a man. I'd love to see those men reunited with their families if they're still alive. But the reality is, could they handle it? Would we be doing them more harm? Because they're probably living in jungles. There were Japanese that were still on the islands in the Philippines up until a few years back. They didn't know the war had ended. You take somebody who's lived in a prisoner mentality all those years and suddenly thrust them back into society. Would they be able to adjust? Because remember, the phone was still relatively, not everybody had a telephone back when they went to war. Now we got planes that fly without pilots. None of this stuff existed. It's not that I don't pray for those that are still alive. I've just realized a lot of them are probably dead. And I need to pray God's will for them and protection for them. So I changed the way I was praying. Because I had it in my mind, in 78, there were still a lot of them that could have been brought home. We also do not need exceptionally long prayers to get God's attention. I don't know how many times you sit down to bless the food and somebody's got to curse every little virus that's attached to it or whatever to go along with it, casting out demons out of the potatoes and stuff. That is not scriptural. Did you hear me? But I've heard some big names teaching it. It's not scriptural. That is the poison that Jesus said, if you drink anything poisonous, it shall by no means hurt you. Not that you need to go around drinking antifreeze, which is very sweet, by the way. I didn't drink it, just inadvertently ingested it. Just like I did gasoline, which burns like a Dickens inside. And I was afraid to go into the house because most of my family smoked in there. And I wasn't about to burp. I stayed outside until couldn't smell gas anymore. Which took a long time. While he is God and should not be treated as something common, he is also our Father. When we go to Jesus, he said, don't be like hypocrites. You say you're praying for somebody, do it. But don't stand up and do it so you can get attention. I was in a prayer meeting. This is part of the reason I don't go to all these prayer meetings around, if you've ever wondered. I don't go to the National Day of Prayer. It's nothing. I find people want to pray to get attention. That's all they want to do. If we're here to pray, the last one I went to, the first and the last, we spent, 2 hours there? Something like that. And less than 15 minutes praying. We had to have a poem by Sister So-and-so. We had to have, it's a day of prayer. Let's pray. Let's rock and roll on this thing, right? I'm sorry. I'm a guy who like sees a wall and it needs a door. Get the hammer. Let's bust a hole in the thing. Let's get through there. If our country needs prayer, let's spend the time praying, not drawing attention to ourselves. Are you hearing me? And that's what we do. It's one thing for us, for a spiritual leader to call us to prayer. America, pray. I actually went to the commissioners one time and talked to them. I said, is there anything you need the church to be praying about? God told me to go to them, talk to them. Find them. You know what I got? I lost a lot of respect. Because what I got was, we have dedicated such as, we've made it in our books, an official prayer time here on this. That's not what I asked you. What do you need prayer for? You know what the only thing I got out of it was, well, we don't know if we're going to have money to keep Cheryl on as a secretary. You know what we prayed for? She's still employed, and that's been a few years ago. You cannot think that praying canned prayers and drawing attention to yourself is going to get any attention. I went to a prayer meeting one time. We're going to have prayer. You know, praise God. People lining up. Why do we need 15 people with the microphone? Let me tell you why. So they can all say the same prayer. Because that's what it became. This one person said this prayer. Every person behind it prayed the same prayer. Why? We don't need to draw attention to ourselves that way. One person get up, rest of you say amen, you just joined in. Is it good that everybody knows how to pray? Yes, I think it is good that everybody knows, because you may have to pray in public sometime, which, by the way, Jesus did. But he didn't do it to draw attention to himself. He did it once when he was standing there in front of Lazarus' grave. He did that on purpose so people knew that it wasn't him, it wasn't witchcraft or evil doing it. It was the power of Almighty God. And besides that, this was a forum that he was the special guest. I would expect to go to a Billy Graham crusade and hear Billy Graham preach and pray. Or he can even have somebody else close in prayer. That's a common thing. It's no big deal. But I don't need 15 preachers to get up there and pray the benediction. All right. I think all the Baptists and everybody else are out of the restaurant. As a matter of fact, I think they're serving dinner now. You're blessing your food. Thank God for your food. You can thank him for and I do this, you'll hear me. I thank him for the food. I thank him for the day about every time I pray. You know why? Because I realize I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family and I put them under the protection of Jesus. But I don't know the will of God in everything. God's going to kill you. No, God ain't going to kill my kids. And I ain't letting the devil do it either. But I thank him for now. We're all thankful for the things we got in the past, which is what we do on Thanksgiving, right? We thank him for the year. Supposedly thank him. I don't know what the heathen do. Who are you thanking? Kind of wonder why atheists celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas. They do. They give gifts. Why are you giving gifts? Why are you taking Thanksgiving? This is a day to give thanks to our Creator. This was a day to celebrate the birth of our Savior. So why are you taking it off? So you'll never see, they'll try to keep slipping it in and removing Christ from Christmas and thanking God on Thanksgiving. They'll try to keep doing that in. We'll always celebrate them because they like special days too. They like getting those days off of work. And we've created such an economy now based on Christmas that I don't care if the president of Macy's believes in God or not. He's going to make sure that you've got a Christmas because he makes a lot of money because of that parade. He or she. I can actually imagine a woman being the president of Macy's. So there's an example of how we're to pray. Be yourself. How would you talk to your father? That's what Jesus did. He was showing us. My Father, the one in heaven. My Father, the creator of the universe. My Father, my Savior. Go to him, ask him. Talk to him like you would a friend. But remember, he is a friend with the power to create things out of nothing. And the power to reach down from heaven and slap you up inside of your stupid head when you're being stupid. You know, some of you might remember my definition of stupid. Doing something you know you shouldn't. That's stupid. All right. Well, let's stand. I saw a disclaimer the other day. This just shifted gears. Don't try to pull any spirituality out of this. Saw a disclaimer the other day. It was at a tube rental. I saw it on TV. It was at a river tube rental place. And it said, it was talking about the insurance, and it said, under no circumstances will any claims be granted that began with, hey, y'all, watch this. Most of the time, those are what we call stupid. We knew we shouldn't have done it, but we did it anyhow. Prayer time with God is a personal thing. We come together once a month to make it a corporate thing because the Bible does say when two or three of us gather, we can. Jesus Christ is here and one of us can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. So the effect we have in the spiritual joining it, and we, by the way, we don't even have to come together. We just do it because we like each other. But numerous times do we get a message. Hey, pray for this. Pray. Boom. Come back. Something has happened. Why? Because the more people you get praying in faith, I'm going to warn you on that right now. If you've got people who are not faith-filled, their prayers are just like Angela getting up here playing the drums. It's noise. I say that because her gift is obviously singing. I don't think I've ever heard you go up and play Joshua's. Have you? Yeah. Yeah, I'll be trying to watch the game. But your prayer time. Get away. Spend the time with God. Talk to him like you would your dad. Because that's who he is. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And if you one thing you should understand, but you may not always get along with your brothers, but there should be something in you that says, nobody messes with my brother but me. Especially if you're the big brother. You're the big brother. You're the only one with that God-given right. Amen. All right. Well, just a quick reminder, we're going to eat. We're giving them time to kind of finish up over there real quick. We'll pray here, go over and eat. We are going to start showing a little bit more honor around here. We would ask that our older folks in here get to eat first. Okay? Yeah. got to pay off somewhere. So we're going to ask that you do that. We're not going to go by birth dates or whatever. We did that at New Year's, and you know, it worked out pretty good. There's too many of you in here to do that today. So go ahead, go over there, eat, you know, fellowship, enjoy the fellowship we're going to get when we're done there. We're going to come back over here. We're going to have our war on the floor. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, folks, God does great things. Was it you that posted that thing about the drugs the other day? Yeah. I hadn't even heard about it yet at that point. But years ago, we started praying against the drug trade in this county. I mean, and Central Ohio in general at that point. And, I mean, it was a week later, they pull a semi over on 23. The guy's loaded with marijuana. And it's like, holy smoke, they were just pulling him over for an infraction on something else. And lo and behold, the guy's hauling pot. Well, they had a big, relatively big bust the other day here in the county over in Cardington. And, you know, God is still working. And it just dawned on me the other day, somebody had told me this because an old friend of theirs or an old lover or whatever actually could be trafficking things. And they said that County Road 20 is the highway because it runs from one end of the county to the other and keeps on going, and there's no towns. And it's rarely patrolled. God put me within a mile of County Road 20. So guess who's going to be praying on County Road 20? But you see, and we all wonder, why God? Listen, drugs are a bad deal right now. Bad, bad, bad. Probably worse now than they've ever been because we don't realize the extent of how things are going. But we began praying against this stuff. And we did it corporately, and God has been moving ever since. He didn't stop moving against it just because we didn't pray every Sunday about it. That prayer is out there, just like when he said, let there be light. Light didn't stop just because he didn't say it the next morning. The prayer of faith activated something and it kept going. So when we pray, that's what we do. So that's why I say, find faithful people that'll pray. You find somebody that barely believes that God is God, not the person you need to be calling for help. You know, I ain't going to call Pee Wee Herman if I got Schwarzenegger or Stallone standing at my door. Although at this juncture in their lives, I think I could take them. I know their joints are old and rickety. I'll kick them in the knees, at least alone. But anyhow, prayer, it's part of the relationship with God. Amen? All right, let's pray ourselves. Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for your word. Lord, I thank you how it changes our lives. Lord, I pray now that this has stirred in us, Father, to seek you more, to talk to you more, to understand you more, to understand your will. Father, I pray now that each one of us grows greatly and mightily in our prayer lives. And Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them, Lord God, those that will be staying. I bless them. I bless those who cannot stay. And Lord, I thank you right now that you are moving mightily in their lives. You're opening doors that the devil has shut on them. You've given them great revelation on how to overcome. And Father, we thank you for the food we're about to receive. We bless it. Bless the fellowship, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.